Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to begin there. And then we're going to look at verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues. How many have to pay dues? You know, maybe you're part of an organization and you have to pay dues, right? Well, I want you to notice what he equates paying dues with. Tribute, to whom tribute is due. Custom, to whom custom. Fear, to whom fear. And honor, to whom honor. Did you know that honor is a due that we pay? There are people who do honorable things, who have a spirit of honor, and we are to give them honor. Amen? And I just want to do a review for you. We're talking about honoring authority, but we haven't gotten to the authority part yet because we're just focusing on the honor. Amen? We've got to get the honor part first, and then we can talk about the authority. So maybe in July we'll begin to talk about authority. And honor is really integrity, decency, uprightness. It's character, it's nobility. It means to give esteem and respect. It means to give reverence and homage. To honor means to respect your superiors through submission and service. Say, I have an authority in my life. And all authority comes from God. And I should respect authority. Amen? Now, what if someone takes the authority that God gave them and uses that for evil? I want you to notice something. Just think about this. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they addressed Nebuchadnezzar, he was using his authority for evil purposes, right? Because he wanted everybody to worship him. How did they respond to him? Did they say, you wicked king? They said, your majesty, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Even though he was doing wicked things, they still respected the authority that he had. Amen? Okay? You give honor. Honor is due to wisdom, to people that display wisdom, glory, have a good reputation. They do things that are morally correct, that are decent. You know, of course, we need to honor God. Amen? He deserves our respect. And our honor for God has to be at the highest level. Amen? And really, how you honor God will determine how he responds to you. So keep that in mind. And then, this is in your bulletin, but I want you to get a hold of this and grasp this. One who has a true spirit of honor demonstrates and displays these qualities and characteristics. They possess a spirit and mind that is fearless to speak and stand up for God. Amen? Listen, when Goliath spoke evil of God, David said something about it. Amen? Well, I thought God can defend himself. But listen, David was a man of honor. And to be honorable is to stand up for what's right, isn't it? So one who has a spirit of honor, they avoid selfish interests and they put others above themselves. You know, someone who displays honor, you're not focused on yourself. You're focused on others. Amen? You're preferring others before yourself. And one who has a spirit of honor rejects corruption and compromise and seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, someone who shows honor doesn't compromise. They don't give in. They don't quit, amen, when the going gets tough, right? How many know that tough happens? Sometimes you got to be tough, right? Well, an honorable person will do these things. One who has a true spirit of honor demonstrates passionate, enthusiastic love for God. You know, it's not just enough to say that I love God. How many know that Jesus dealt with Pharisees? He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. When we say that we honor God, our actions have to line up with our words. Amen? You can't just say you love God and worship him like this. Amen? You know, honor is really reverence for the invisible. One who has a true spirit of honor adheres to and lives by a high moral code of integrity. In other words, you have the same good character in a crowd or by yourself. You do what's right no matter if there's people looking at you or if there's no one looking at you. Amen? This is what it means to have a spirit of honor. One who has a true spirit of honor is not afraid or ashamed to perform their duty relating to God and man. A true person of honor is a servant. How many know that Jesus deserves our highest honor, doesn't he? But yet when his last time with his disciples, what did he do? He girded on a towel and he washed their feet. Why? Because God exalts the servant. And those who show honor are a true servant because they're doing it with a right heart. Amen? So one who has a true spirit of honor will give lavishly and generously to the kingdom of God without being prideful. In other words, when someone operates in a true spirit of honor, the attention is not on them. Amen? They're just like a mirror. They reflect the glory to God. All the glory that comes to them, they give it to God instantly. Amen? And, you know, people can do good things. The Bible teaches us that when we give alms, when we give to the poor, we're not to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, right? And sometimes you can give a gift and you can be, you know, what do they call those people at Christmas time? A secret Santa, right? You know, they do good deeds without people knowing who did them. That's a true spirit of honor. Amen? When we can do things and not always have to get the credit for it or complain when they don't recognize you. Amen? We're going to rub off the pride a little bit. Hallelujah. One who has a true spirit of honor will live and walk in true humility. What does that mean? To trust God totally. They'll not talk to others in a way that's harsh. You know, someone who's honorable is gentle. You know, Jesus was very gentle. He could have gotten on Peter's case when he knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he could have really given it to Peter after he saw him. Remember when Peter went back to fishing and Jesus came and prepared a meal on the shore and Peter jumped in and he could have really let him have it, but he didn't, did he? Because he's gentle. So when you're operating out of a true spirit of honor, you're not harsh, you're not rough, you're gentle. Amen? Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit? And finally, one who has a true spirit of honor will demonstrate the strength and character of being a godly example. You know, honor is something that you want to follow. When someone acts in an honorable way, you want to follow it. You want to duplicate it. You want to emulate that. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And today we're going to get into a little bit about things that God doesn't honor. You know that there are some qualities and characteristics that God will not honor? And let's go down to verse Verse 22, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. I want you to notice that he heard what his sons were doing, but he didn't do anything about it. And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Who was in charge at this time? Eli was the priest, wasn't he? He was the one in charge. He was the one responsible. Okay? Verse 24, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. They didn't have a bright future, did they? See, when we do wicked things, and we know it's wrong, and someone addresses it, we continue to do wrong, guess what? There's a problem with the heart. Okay? And all that will lead to is a hard heart. So, then go down to verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus says the Lord. So God sent a man with a message to Eli. How many know that God knows how to take care of things? Amen? And God will always show mercy before he brings judgment. Now God will judge, but he always brings mercy first. Can you say amen? Okay? Did I plainly appear to unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick you at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons above me. Huh. What was Eli doing? Eli was giving honor to his sons above honor to God. What was he doing? He was lowering his standards. He was allowing things to take place that he knew of. It wasn't like he had to figure it out. Let me just read that again. You honor your sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. What was God's plan for the family of the priests, for the line of the priests? To walk before him forever, right? But that comes with conditions. Amen? When you walk with God, you got to meet his conditions, which are his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Okay? And God doesn't lower that for anybody. Okay? But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me will be lightly esteemed. So by the very actions, Eli's sons were despising God. They were belittling his commandments. They showed no respect to the house of God. They showed no respect to the things of God. They showed no respect to the people of God. They were dishonorable. Okay? Does God consider honor a light thing or a heavy thing? He looks at it, doesn't he? He considers it. Behold, the days come that I will cut off your arm, and the arm of your father's house, that there shall not be an old man in your house. Wow. That makes you want to get things right, doesn't it? And you shall see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. So, God didn't really like what was happening, but it could have been corrected. It could have been changed, but it wasn't. He said something, but he was in a position of authority, and he could have done something, but he didn't. And it didn't end well for his sons, did it? All right? So go with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and we'll go to verse 18. I'm going to talk to you about the other side of the coin today. I don't want you to be like this. I'm giving you the negative side of things that God doesn't honor. Amen? Because God honors righteousness, God honors those who seek wisdom, and God honors those who operate in humility. Proverbs said, with humility come riches and honor. Amen? And if you're seeking righteousness, if you seek wisdom, and if you seek humility, God will honor you. Those are three qualities and characteristics that are necessary to receive honor from God. But what I'm going to share to you today are qualities and characteristics that God lightly esteems, that God does not honor. Amen? And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and let's go to verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, the king. I want you to notice the king was about to go into the temple to perform a function that he wasn't called to. How many know you better swim in your lane? Amen? You know, in the Olympics, you know, Michael Phelps, who won all the gold medals, he'd have been disqualified if he'd have gotten out of his lane. And if he'd have gotten to someone else's lane, he would have been disqualified from the race. And so many people, they try to do things that they're not called to do. And it never turns out good. Amen? So they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said to him, it appertains not to you, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. Neither shall it be for honor from the Lord your God. So God does not honor those who try to be something or something that he has not authorized. If you're trying to be something that God didn't authorize you to be, you're trying to be the wrong person. Or you're trying to do the wrong thing. Amen? Listen, God's got a perfect will for every one of us. He knows exactly how your gifts, your talents, and abilities will function. And he'll place you in the body as it pleases him. Amen? And thank God that we're all different. We need to celebrate our differences. You know what? I have a certain gifting, but I bring in other people that are different than me. Amen? Because they bring a different perspective. They have a different way of ministering. You know, God used one guy by blowing and chopping. I heard his testimony. He was a rancher. And God, he got saved, and God called him to the ministry. Well, when God first called him, he didn't have meetings. What did he have? He had cattle. So he would start laying hands on cattle. He would preach to his cows when he started out. And one day while he was praying over someone, he saw his hand as a flaming sword. And so he goes to people, he goes behind their back, and he goes like that. That's how God uses him. He blows and he chops and God moves. Hallelujah. Amen? So don't try to be someone that you're not. Be you. You know, if you try to be someone else, you're going to be second best. You know, when I was at Lee College, at that time it was college, now it's Lee University, it seemed like every minister could sing. And I'm thinking, I don't sing. Am I really called to the ministry? So what I tell people is, my sister got the singing voice and I got the preaching voice. And I'm okay with that, amen? I can carry a tune, just not too far. You know, I don't lead worship because it wouldn't bless you. It might turn you off. Unless it's rap. Now, I can rap. But my point is this. The king was trying to do something he wasn't called to do. And as a result, he lost his honor. Same thing happened to Saul. When Samuel said, wait for 7 days, don't sacrifice, because it wasn't Saul's job to sacrifice. But I'm king, I can do anything. No, you can't. You can rule the people. That's what you're called to do. Stick with that. Now, God may cause you to function in several things, and that's great. You might be able to sing and preach. Well, praise the Lord. My point is, find out what God has authorized you to do and do it. If you want God to honor you, your life is now responsible to him. Who is qualified to be Lord? We're not. He is, right? And if you made, listen, did God force you to make him Lord of your life? You responded to an invitation. You didn't have to accept him as Lord, but you did. But when you did, he took up the position in your life as Lord of your life. That means he's boss. Amen? And that means now your life is not your own. Just like your body is not your own. It belongs to God. All right? Go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Look at verse 13 and 14. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me and their fear toward me as taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. God does not honor hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Saying one thing and doing another. Really, a hypocrite is a play actor. Do you realize? It's amazing to me how actors make millions of dollars to be someone they're not. They get paid to pretend. And they get paid well to pretend. And with special effects, it seems so real, but it's all fake. And what does the world do? The world honors them. The world praises them. Fame is the voice of a multitude. But honor is the reverence of the invisible. God looks to the heart of every person. Whether you are saying the right thing and doing the right thing, God knows your heart. It's very easy to say one thing and have your heart disagree. But when your heart disagrees with your mouth, you're not in faith. Did you know that? Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You need your heart and your mouth both in agreement, saying the same thing. You could read about this in Matthew 15. Jesus used this very same scripture when he talked to the Pharisees. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And what does that mean? They were acting like they were believing God, but they really weren't. That happens a lot. It's very easy for us as people to do that. We want to make, you know, everything's okay, everything's all right. When you need help, when you're hurting. But you know what? Pride keeps you from getting that solved. Because people can think that they can do it on their own. Well, you know, maybe there's a call for prayer. See, we call people up for prayer because oftentimes there's an anointing to minister to their needs. Amen? It's an opportunity for God to do things that man can't. Did you know that one touch from God can change things? And so sometimes we call them altar calls. Now, we don't have a physical altar, but when people come up here and we lay hands on them, we expect God to move. Amen? We expect the power of God to be released. Now, pride will say, well, I'm not going to go up there. I don't need to go up there. What will people think? What are they going to think of me? That's just pride. That's preventing you from getting the solution. And then you leave more messed up than what you came. But see, it takes a humble person to come up and to receive from God when the anointing is flowing. It's a different attitude. Amen? People who come up don't care what others think. You know? Because the power of God may hit on you. You may fall down. Your hair might get messed up. You might laugh in the spirit. People, you know, you might think, well, people think I'm goofy. Oh, but I'll tell you what, would you rather be goofy or free? So just come up and receive and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in your life. Amen? Just make yourselves available. You know, God can discern between the man-made and God-made. Notice that Isaiah said that it was because of the traditions of men. You know, Jesus said the traditions of men make God's word ineffective. Some people honor their traditions more than they honor the word. That's what the Pharisees did. They added so many things to the law. That's why they got so upset when Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. That was a man-made rule. They didn't care about the person getting free. They cared about their rule being broken. How shallow. Amen? Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Say, I'm an honorable person. I honor God, and I honor people, and I honor authority. When you do that, God will honor you. When you don't do that, God will lightly esteem you. Matthew chapter 13, and let's go down to verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed there. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And said, where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? What did they call Jesus? This man. Okay? They go on to say, verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where has this man all these things? And they were, look at verse 57. They were what? Offended at him. Why? You don't think a carpenter can do these things? Now notice, But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And look at verse 58. Does it say he could not? He did not many mighty works there. Why? Do you mean to tell me that unbelief hindered Jesus from operating? Because they simply looked, all they saw was the natural. They couldn't see beyond. Some people look at me and they say, a Polish boy from Illinois. How can he say such things? Well, see, even though I'm Polish, I can polish my stuff. But some people can look solely on the natural. And they got offended. And because of their offense, which came from unbelief, Jesus did not. In another version, it says he could not do many mighty works there. In other words, there were people that needed miracles, but Jesus was hindered from doing that. Can the people hinder Jesus? Yes. Do you realize that there are three people involved in a sermon? There is the preacher, there is the people, and there is the Holy Ghost. And either one of them can hit the gas or the brake. How many know that you don't get too far if you're hitting the gas and the brake at the same time? You're just making a lot of smoke. Sometimes people can put the brakes on things because of unbelief or doubt or other things. You know? That's what happened here. What happened? They did not honor Jesus. Where there was no honor, there was no move of God. Where there was no honor, there was no miracle. It tells me that God puts a lot of weight on honor. He looks for it. He wants it. And he teaches us how to do it the right way, with the right heart. Amen? I want you to be people that honor God. You know what? You start by honoring God, by honoring his word. How you value this word determines, I have a sheet here. Yeah, I got some quotes. This is what Thomas Carlyle said. Show me the man you honor and I will know what kind of man you are. They did not honor Jesus. They did not honor God's word. They did not honor the message. And therefore, he did no mighty miracle there. He did what he could. He did a few little things, but not big things. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Are you still with me today? See, we have to have an understanding of honor, of what it means to honor people in the right way, to honor the right things. And we also have to know what it means to be dishonorable. Amen? Romans 9, and let's go to verse 19. And they will say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? But, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that is formed, why have you made me thus? Don't people say that a lot? How come you let this happen, God? How come you did this, God, when God wasn't even responsible for it? We're putting blame on God that he didn't do. For example, when Jesus rebuked the storm, did God cause that storm to come up? If he did, then Jesus was rebuking God. Must have not been God that caused that storm. Not everything that happens in life is a result of God. Some things happen because of our choice. Some things happen because of our action. And some things happen because the devil's doing it. When God was trying to speak to Elijah, God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. But where was he? He was in the still small voice. But there were other things that occurred that he wasn't in. He was trying to prove a point that you really got to know God. Because when you know God, you'll be able to recognize his voice. You'll be able to know when he's in something and when he's not in something. Let's go on to say, verse 21. Hath not the potter over power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had also afore prepared unto glory? What's he saying here? Those who resist God's will, God will dishonor. You know, God has a will for people's lives, right? But you know it's possible to resist that will? How do I know? Because I know Jonah. What happened when Jonah resisted God's will? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He ran the opposite way. Did it go well for Jonah? No. Jonah could have avoided that by not resisting God's will from the beginning. When Moses began to give excuses why he couldn't go into Egypt like God said, was God getting happy or angry? For every excuse that Moses gave to God why he couldn't do what God said, God gave him an answer. Bottom line is, when God tells you to do something, guess what? He wants you to do it, and he doesn't really ask how you feel about it. Amen. You know, God is not always a touchy-feely God. Sometimes you'll get prayer and you won't feel a thing, but you'll see the results of what happened. Amen? So those who resist God's will, God's not going to honor. Just write these down. Proverbs 12:8, God does not honor a perverse heart. A perverse heart is a twisted heart. You know, the word wicker comes from wicked. Or the word wicked comes from wicker. Wicker is twisted, right? When someone is wicked, they're twisted. They're going against the truth. They're turned. Okay? Proverbs 14:17. God does not honor the quick-tempered and the one with wicked intentions. If you're a person that gets angry easily, you better meditate on God's word. God doesn't honor the quick-tempered. You know, a funny story. We thought about it when my father-in-law, Fiona's dad, was preaching last week. You know when Moses got angry because the people were worshiping a golden cow? And he broke the commandments, right? But then God gave him the commandments a second time. But who had to chisel out the stone the second time? See, his anger cost him. His anger led him to do double labor than what God originally wrote it with his finger. Easy. But when he got angry, now he had to take the hammer and the chisel and chisel out the stone for God to write on it. A lot more work. Listen, your anger will cause you to work harder. So don't be a quick-tempered. God doesn't honor a fool. Who's a fool? A fool says there is no God. A fool hates to be corrected. A fool is, you know a fool when they start speaking because they don't stop. God does not honor a fool. Proverbs 24:24. God does not honor the one who calls wicked righteous. That recently happened in our country, didn't it? Our president said, God bless Planned Parenthood. I'm telling you, God does not bless Planned Parenthood. And when we call something wicked righteous, God doesn't honor that. Now, I honor the president because of his office that he holds. because he has authority. And all we can do is pray for our president. And if you want to change the government, then get involved in government. Amen? It's easy to sit and talk about it, but why don't you go run for office and see how it is? That might change our perspective a little bit. But we have that opportunity, right? If you want to change your government, you can. You can run for office. That's the best way to get involved and change things. And if you're called to do that, go for it. Amen? Let's move on. Isaiah 66:24. God does not honor those who transgress against God. What does it mean to transgress? It means to break the law. If you're driving 75 and a 65 and you pass a police officer, you transgressed. Now, just because there's a police officer's not there doesn't mean it's God's grace. Psalm 101, verse 15. God does not honor the secret slanderer or the proud in heart. You know, a secret slanderer is right up there with a gossiper, a talebearer. Those are traps that the enemy will try to get you in. Have you heard about so-and-so? No, I haven't. Tell me. That's a trap. Unless you're ready to say, let's pray for so-and-so. And pray right there. Don't wait. God does not honor the secret slanderer or the proud in heart. And then finally, Isaiah 37:29. God does not honor those who rage against him. I look up that word rage. It means to make commotion or clamor. Basically, to complain against God. How do I know that? What happened to the Israelites who complained in the wilderness? Did that make God happy? No, he sent fiery serpents, didn't he? Complaining, murmuring, and grumbling does not touch God's heart. Praise and worship touches his heart. Amen? It takes just as much effort to praise and worship as it does to complain. So you have the choice. How are you going to respond? What are you going to do? Now, I didn't want to end on a bad note today. So let me talk about just briefly how God will honor you. Amen? Say, God wants to honor me. Go with me to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. See, I didn't want you to leave church today thinking about all the things that dishonor God. But I do want you to be aware. You know, it's part of my job is to warn you. I can only warn you. I can only lead you to the water. I can't make you drink. Everybody has a choice. Amen? So I want to leave on a good note. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 18. The Lord has avouched you to this day to be his peculiar. That word avouch means to treasure. To be his peculiar people. That means his possession. That doesn't mean strange or weird. As he has promised you that you should keep all of his commandments and to make you high above all nations. Now, this applies to Israel, but it also applies to the individual. What does God want to do? He wants to make you high above. He has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people unto the Lord your God as he has spoken. The best way for God to demonstrate to the world that he loves them is by being good to you. And then you, as you go out into the world, as your neighbors see you, as your coworkers see you, they see how blessed you are, they see how you handle stress, they see how you react in situations, you're advertising for God. Whether you realize it or not, everything you do, you advertise for God. Uh-oh, in a good way or a bad way. Because how many know when a Christian messes up, someone's going to say, well, aren't you a Christian? I can't believe you said that. The devil's always going to have an accuser somewhere, because he's the accuser of the brethren. But the Bible teaches us to live above reproach, right? We're supposed to live in such a way that when they criticize us, they can't find any fault in us. How many know that Daniel's co-workers and his peers, they tried to look for something in Daniel? They tried to look for a flaw in his character? The only thing that they could find, did you hear Daniel prays? Can you believe Daniel's a government official who prays? He actually talks to God. That was the only thing that they could find against Daniel. I guess he must have prayed at the lunchroom. I guess he must have prayed at the breakfast meeting. I guess when the king had a meeting, a staff meeting, Daniel said, "Can we pray first?" How else would they know that he prayed if he didn't pray before them? Daniel just didn't hide in a little corner to pray, because when the law was signed not to pray to anybody other than the king, what did he do? He opened his windows and his doors. I guarantee you, if Daniel was invited as a guest speaker to every graduation, he would pray to God before every speech, even if the school said you can't. That's what Daniel did. And the only thing that they could accuse him of was that government official praise. Oh, we need more government officials like Daniel. Amen? But God will honor you. Isn't that good news? Listen to these guys. This is how David ended his life. 1 Chronicles 29:28. So David died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his place. How many want to die in riches, in good old age, and in honor? Well, then you better learn from David, because David honored authority, even when he didn't agree with the authority. Uh-oh. You mean I can disagree and still got to honor? Oh boy. Here's what they said about Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 17:5-6. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat. And he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Oh man, if your heart just delights in the ways of the Lord. You know, listen, when it was raining this morning, I'm not talking about outside, when we were singing about rain, if your heart delights in the Lord, then you can be someone who just plays in the rain. Sometimes you just got to splash around the puddles, right? Remember when you were a little kid and when I see a giant puddle, you just want to stomp on it, don't you? And when you got big feet like me, you can send that water flying. You just want to play in the rain. Listen, as believers in Christ, we need to know how to play in the rain. We're so tight and uptight when it comes to the Spirit of God moving. You know, it's like people want the Spirit to come on them and move their arms, you know. You're like the Tin Man who needs oil. And you try to lift your hands and you squeak. Listen, we need to learn to have fun with praise and worship. Dance before the Lord. Rejoice. Let it loose. You know, take it from me. I used to be uptight. I still have some tendencies that way. But God sent me a person named Pastor Fiona. And one of her goals for me was to help loosen me up. Thank God. Being loose is better than being tight. Listen, church should be fun. This is why we dismiss the kids like we do. I don't want the kids to come to say, "Oh, that was a boring church." You know, like the one kid, they were looking at these plaques outside the sanctuary, and the plaque said, "These died in the service." And the little boy said, "Which service, the early service or the next service?" I don't want to be a church where people die in the service. We got to have fun in church. People need to come and encounter God and enjoy. Now, I'm not here to entertain, but I believe in having a good time. Amen? Jesus believed in having a good time. When the disciples, they were uptight, when the kids started coming around, Jesus said, let the kids come unto me. He said, bring them here. And he what did he do? He laid his hands on them, he blessed them. That tells me that Jesus had fun. You know, Jesus right now is laughing at every atheist. Do you realize all you got to tell God is that you don't exist and that'll make God laugh? He laughs at them, doesn't he? And we as a people of God, we need to learn how to do that. Praise and worship, you know, don't worry about the ritual or the form. There's plenty of room. You know, if you want to move, you go for it. Here's what the Bible said about Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32:27 through 30. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor. He made himself treasuries of silver for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and all kinds of desirable tents. Storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls of all kinds of livestock, and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself. How'd you like to take over a city? You know, what if God blessed you so much? Listen, people buy their own island. Why couldn't we buy a city? Because we think too small sometimes, don't we? Our thought is, well, how can I do that? Don't worry about the how. Just know it could happen. Amen? So he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. For God had given him very much property. Who gave it to him? God. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of the upper Gihon and brought the water by a tunnel into the west side of the city of David. He made sure that he had water. One more scripture and then I'm done. How God will honor you. Say, God wants to honor me. Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. Because you have set your love upon him. The reason is you set your love upon him. Therefore, I will deliver you. When you set your love upon him, he will deliver you. He will set you on high. Not make you high, but set you on high. Because you have known his name. You shall call upon him, and he will answer you. He will be with you in trouble. He will deliver you and honor you. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. Now, I read it in a different tense, but if you read it, that's how you should read it. You should make it personal. But it all has to do with you setting your love upon God. Man, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you fall in love with God, your perspective changes. You want cares to leave? Fall in love with Jesus. And care, the enemy will try to shoot cares at you, but you'll be like a rubber wall. They won't stick to you. Amen? God honors those who set their love upon him, those who know his name, and those who pray. Amen? And if you don't know how to pray, come on Wednesday and learn. I think in a lot of times we've allowed complaining to overtake our prayers. You know, if we would pray more, we would complain less. So God wants to honor you. God wants to lift you up. He'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. But it has a lot to do with you. You have a part to play, doesn't it? These things don't just happen automatically. But it's how you line up. Now, next week, we're going to talk about family honor, and we're going to talk about honor in the church. Amen? Has this helped you? To become a person with a true spirit of honor? Because when you begin to walk, see, honor is something that you've got to walk in every day. Every day you have a choice to honor God or to honor this or to honor that or to honor this person or that person. And the Holy Spirit, He will help you to honor the correct way, the correct person. Amen? You know, probably one of my two most favorite people when it comes to honor are David and Mordecai. Who's Mordecai? He was Esther's uncle. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't because he honored the authority, and he repented for just cutting a piece of his garment. And when Haman would walk by, Mordecai would be the only one that stood up. Because why? He refused to bow to evil. He didn't compromise. And you know what? He did good. There was a plot against the king that Mordecai uncovered. What did he do? He shared it with the right people. The king averted it, and the people who were behind it got in jail. And you know what? He wasn't upset that he didn't get credit for it, because he did it because God was watching. But you know what? When you do things because God is watching, God will credit you. And I think I touched on this before, but there was a night when the king couldn't sleep. So what does he do? He reads the records. Boy, I tell you what, he must have really been awake to read records, you know? But he found that Hezekiah did this deed, and he realized that Hezekiah was never honored. How many know that when you do things for God, God will honor you? Amen? Stop looking to people to honor you. Because people might miss it, but God will never miss it, because promotion comes from God. And do you realize, because Mordecai honored God, God honored him, he ended up with his enemy's stuff. Think about it. Because he operated in an honorable way, he ended up with Haman's house and all of Haman's goods, and guess what? He had a higher position than Haman. So honor has good rewards. Amen? So let's take a moment and let's honor God right now. I want us to just sing that song that we sang in worship, I Exalt Thee. And I want us to exalt God today. Amen? I want you to be engaged in worship. This is a time between you and God. And let your focus be on Him. And I want you to exalt God like you've never exalted Him before. I want you to open up your mouth and to praise Him. And if you feel like you got to get on your knees, if you feel like you got to move your seat, then do it. And just begin to exalt God. This is where honor begins. He's high. He's above. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We honor you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. He's far above. He's in the highest place. Hallelujah. I want you to touch God's heart with your worship. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, you are exalted. Far above. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We exalt you. We lift you up, Lord. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. Press into his presence. Oh, press into his presence. Praise him for who he is. He's the Almighty God. Lord Jesus,
for thou,
oh, we praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. God, we look to you, Lord. You're the creator. You're the redeemer. You're the healer. You're the savior. You are Lord. You are God. We praise you. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We connect with heaven. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, he is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's done so much for you. Lavish, lavish your praise on him. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Father, let your presence touch every heart, every soul right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you look to him, all fear disappears. Strength comes. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear your voice. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabaka Sunda, Rabaka Sunda. Hallelujah. Well, as you go today, know that you have met with God today. He's here to fill you, to touch you, to help you, to deliver you, and you can have a personal relationship with him. You can get to know him in greater ways. You can understand how he operates and how he works. Hallelujah. So as you go today, go exalting God today. Go in his presence. Be blessed today. Receive what you need from his hand. Look to his face. Look to him. And have an awesome day.